Welcome back to the Balancing Act Podcast. Yes. I am Andy Tempty, and on the Balancing Act, we talk to business leaders and industry experts to explore the balancing acts that we play in our professional lives, and we learn about the events that put rocket boosters behind their career success. Today, we have Betty Christensen joining us. Betty is the publisher of Cooley Region Women Magazine, based right here in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, Betty.
Thank you.
Yes. We have a small but mighty audience with us today. So they're going to be very, very behind us. Betty, I ask all my guests this question. Give us the 2-minute version of your story.
Okay. I'll go as quick as I can. So I feel very lucky right now to be in the business of telling stories, because as a kid, stories, books, reading was so central to my life. I was actually at a writer's workshop this weekend, and it made me, just the exercise made me remember that even as a kid, I love to read books about girls like myself, but in different times and places. So, Little Women, Little House on the Prairie, all the Lois Lenski books, everything. And I would go through my days like envisioning myself in the middle of my own story, like as if someone were writing a book about me. So I suppose it was inevitable that when I went to college, I became an English major, and I went to Oxford College in Minneapolis, which turned out to be a really great choice because Minneapolis is second only to New York as a publishing hub. And it didn't take me long to figure out that publishing was a place I loved to be. I had an internship at a publishing company in Minneapolis that turned into a full-time job that was doing kind of your basic entry-level copy editing. Then I took another job at another publisher where I was a development editor. And in that position, I was working on nonfiction books and really working with writers, helping them flesh out their ideas, structure their stories. And it wasn't long into that job before I realized this is something I could do myself. And that led to an interest to go to graduate school for writing. And I did. I moved to New York. I was married at that point, so I took my brand new husband from the Midwest to New York. And I went to Sarah Lawrence College to earn a Master of Fine Arts in Nonfiction Writing. And I always tell people you don't need a fancy degree to become a writer, but I wanted to do it for the experience, and it really paid off because in New York I had experiences, met people, got to work in publishing. I'm also a knitter, so I really found my niche in knitting magazines. There were a few different ones being published out of New York, and I would write and edit for them. That work with knitting magazines and being part of that that genre led me to have the opportunity to write a couple of books, one in knitting. It was called Knitting for Peace, a collection of profiles really about women making difference in the world through knitting, whether teaching or for charities. Anyway, that led to another book by the same publisher, and eventually, I made my way back to La Crosse, discovered that my magazine editing experience had set me up well for the job I have right now with Cooley Region Women.
That's awesome. So your books, are they available out on Amazon? Can we?
They are. It's been a while since they were published, but they're still out there. So Knitting for Peace is the first. And the second one is actually it was written for the 100-year anniversary of the Girl Scouts. So, so it was the history of the Girl Scouts in America. And there's a long story behind that book that I won't get into tonight. But
very cool. So speaking of books, I want to write a third book someday called Rocket Booster Moments. And that is this next question. What's your rocket booster moment? What just was the accelerant behind your career?
Well, I have to say the best accelerants for me have always been when I made a connection with a person, when I met someone who could help me take my career to the next level. So I would have to say that my rocket booster moment was meeting the woman who became my editor, Melanie Fallick. And I had known of her for quite a while because she'd written this beautiful book called Knitting in America. She was the editor of a knitting magazine called Interweave Knits. And I was learning about her at the same time I was, you know, in New York, in school, working on my own writing. And I just idolized her. I was just in awe of her and everything she had accomplished. I wanted to be her. And shortly, well, I guess a couple years into my grad school, I was working on my thesis project. So I wasn't actually taking classes, but I was writing away during the day. And I took a part-time job at a yarn store just to help fill the time and give me a break from that thesis writing. And one day she came and to do an event around a new book she'd written. I was so excited. I was finally going to get to meet Melanie. And she came and she gave her a little talk and she was signing her books. And I kind of came up to her and I said, you know, hi, my name is Betty Christensen. You know, I do a little writing for her. And she looked at me and she said, what did you say your name was? And I said, Betty Christensen. And she said, you have made my life so miserable. I said, oh my God, I had no idea. Wow. But it turned out I'd written an article for, you know, for her competitor that it was on knitting on college campuses. It was a great article. It was fun to write, really well received. Simultaneously, she'd assigned the same story to one of her writers, but mine got published first. And when the other writer saw it, she was like, I'm done. I can't top that. And so she had to scramble and figure out at the last minute what her new cover story was going to be. But we shared stories. We talked a little bit. And by the end of the event, she'd hired me. So I began writing and editing for her on her magazine and really got a crash course in all aspects of magazine production. Assigning stories, writing stories, editing stories, how it all came together. Then she left her magazine to work at a publishing company where she began that publisher's craft line. And she brought me along as a book editor, freelance, and she said, if you ever have a book idea, let me know, because I'm in a good position to get you published. And that's how Knitting for Peace got published.
That is a wonderful, wonderful story. So tell us more about Coulee Region Women Magazine.
So we call ourselves the Area Home and Healthy Living Magazine. We're focused on women, their health, their families, and what they contribute to the community. Our tagline is connecting you with your community. And so that's what we're in the business of. We're in the business of connecting women to other women, to businesses, our advertisers in the magazine, community opportunities, nonprofits in the community. We just create a platform where women can share their very inspiring stories that all really illustrate how women strengthen and build this community to make it the great place it is. We focus on telling positive stories. That is our number one goal. Like, is this story lifting people up? Is this story going to benefit women? Is this story telling something positive about the community? That's very important to us. We print about 14,000 copies every print run. We publish 6 times a year, so every 2 months. We estimate that we have about 50,000 readers per issue. You know, given that issues are, you know, available free throughout the community, but then also shared, read multiple times in waiting rooms and things like that. We also know that many of our readers are men. And I know this because I get a lot of calls at the office from men who are recommending their bosses or coworkers or wives or daughters for stories. And I just love that.
Well, I've been one of them over at one of my favorite lunch spots, Pickerman's. I pick up a copy when I'm having lunch, and there it is. It's always very positive, always very uplifting. So thank you for
that. Yes, Pickerman's is one of our best pickup points. And I want to also point out that Andy has actually been in Coulee Region Women. We had a men's issue once.
that one time.
And he and his wife, Linda, were featured in a story. So, yes. So you've had your moment of fame in Cooley Region.
Yes, one of my favorite pictures of Linda and I
actually.
I know
that picture.
Yeah,
it was a fabulous picture.
So, Betty, I'm keenly interested in your take on the La Crosse area business scene generally. What's the current state for women to grow and flourish in this community?
Well, I think it's pretty good right now. I think from what we've seen, with our advertisers, the current economy seems to be strong. People feel very positive. And I guess what I would say about this community and the ability of women to flourish in it is really the trend I see in women starting businesses of their own, like women really going out and becoming entrepreneurs, starting their own business. We cover a lot of women running businesses. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a number of reasons that women are doing this. First of all, it is a pretty good it's a good time to be starting a business. But a lot of women see a need in their community that is not currently being filled, and they realize it's something they can do, and they're inspired to fill that. You know, for example, there's a huge need for gluten-free products, bakery items, things like that in town. So, you know, we have a woman in Holman who opened up a gluten-free bakery. Other women have talents to put to use. Maybe they don't fit neatly into a job somewhere. They're not interested in working for another business. They want to see their own skills put to use in their own way. I think of a story we just ran in this current issue about a very young woman who started her own landscaping company. She was kind of at a loss of what to do in life. But this was something she can do, and she realized no other women were doing it. She realized women loved having women to come and do, you know, their own landscaping. And I think the most important reason that women seek to go into business for themselves or create a business is to create a life that works for them. You know, you don't have to get too far into being, you know, an adult woman before you start to see how having a 9-to-5 job is really hard. Once you start to have children, childcare in this community is not great. Maybe you have aging parents or family members who need care. They see creating a business as a way to create their, you know, a life that works for them, a career that works for them, a way to sustain themselves. And another thing that is great about this community and women business owners in it is there's a lot of strong support for small business owners, but women in particular. There's of course the Small Business Development Center at UWL. There's the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation, which we call WIBIC in our circles, and that's an organization that's got chapters all over the state and recently opened one here in La Crosse. And they offer, you know, education, financing, which is key. They'll sit down and help you put together a business plan. They really offer some great supports.
Yeah, that's great. So how have you seen area business leaders promote, support, and empower women in the world of work here?
Again, I'm taking this all through the lens of the stories that we run in the magazine. Yeah. And I'm looking at recent stories we've run. For example, we featured Heather Schwimmer, she had been a nurse. That was her training and her job. She's now the president of Gunderson Health System. So we see women in leadership positions. TrustPoint is another great example. They employ many women in financial advising positions, and they have an awful lot of women in vice presidential level positions, too. Other stories we've run, we had a feature on ISG, for example, which is really a good source of STEM careers for women. The women we featured in the story were engineers, architects, environmental engineers. And I'm also heartened to see things like Quick Trip's Kids Learning Center, which is, a child development center that they actually have for their employees. And I think that's very critical as a support to women. And I wish more companies would be able to do it. I know it's expensive and complicated, but there is a huge need for childcare in particular in this community. And it's something that holds women back. It holds them back from the workforce. It holds them back from advancement opportunities. And I was just reading an article in the New York Times today about this tension women have between being mothers and being, you know, having creative pursuits or career pursuits. It's something that they both equally feel passionate about doing as well as they can. And it's just, in many cases, just not possible to devote as much attention as they'd like to each. So helping women alleviate that juggling act is critical. And I'd love to see more of that in this community.
Yeah, a bit more mental agility and a bit more open-mindedness and really being an ally, speaking as a male of the species who has, frankly, had a lot easier time of it, to be blunt. And, you know, how can we help be an ally and learn and understand and really have an open mind?
Well, I can tell you a few things that's helped us at Cooley Region Women.
Please.
We have we're unique in that we have a very small staff. Everyone is a contract worker, so they're basically doing what they do on a freelance basis. But we are able to offer an opportunity for women to use their talents, but we promise them just maximum flexibility. We pride ourselves on being a workplace where a woman can be a woman. She can do the things that a woman needs to do. Raise children, keep a household together, take care of elderly parents, do all those things, and yet have a supportive and really satisfying place to do what she does best, yeah. Whether that's editing or graphic design or sales or networking. That's something that we really feel we have to offer. And just that flexibility, I think, is a really key point. And that's something even, you know, more structured businesses can do.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take a really short commercial break, and we'll be right back with Betty Christensen.
Is flow missing from your team's workflow? Is accountability a challenge in your organization? Learn how smooth workflows enable accountability and unlock trust to drive long-term organizational success in my new book, The Balanced Business. It's available today at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold.
And we're back with Betty Christensen talking about magazine publishing and the overall health of the La Crosse area business scene. Let's shift gears just a little bit to your specific career arc. As the publisher of a regional magazine, what's the most important balancing act that you have to play?
Your question, I think, specifically says, as a new issue is being developed. And I loved I loved that part of the question because
absolutely grab onto that and run with it.
Absolutely everything we do at the magazine is a balancing act. From the moment we gather to plan each issue, we plan each issue around a theme. And we're pulling in story ideas from all over the place. We have story ideas sent to us from readers all the time. Our wonderful editor, Sherry, who is here tonight, manages a list of 180 reader-submitted ideas. We bring our own to the planning table, and we discuss whatever fits with that theme, and from that we kind of come up with a grid. And as we plan, we're looking at a balance of stories. You know, we want some personal, we want some business-related. We're looking for different viewpoints. We're looking for different sources. We're featuring working women. We're featuring women in nonprofits. We're featuring women in education. We're looking for a balance of topic. We're also looking for a balance of geography. We want to make sure we get all of the towns in the Cooley region that we cover represented, if possible. We're looking for a diversity of women in ethnicity, age, career type, all those kinds of things. It's a balancing act because there are so many things happening at once. As soon as we leave that table, mm-hmm. Sherry's sending out her assignments to writers. Our freelance writers, who are wonderful, are getting to work. Our sales staff, Rachel and Olivia and Claire, are all working with our advertisers to get ads coordinated for the issue. And it's worth pointing out, too, that you know, we're a free magazine, and all our funding, like all the money we get, comes from these wonderful, dedicated advertisers we have. So they're in charge of pulling all that together. Once stories are written, our designers lay out the entire issue. We've got designers designing ads. There's so many moving pieces all at once. And then finally, we come to layout. Even our ratio of editorial pages to advertising pages is a delicate balance that we have to keep every time. We do that all. We spend 3 weeks proofing it. And when we're done, right before we go to press, we sit down and do it all over for the next issue.
Yeah. I really encourage everybody to write more. We're not writing enough, in my opinion, in our society generally. We're not reading nearly as much as we should, but we're not spending the time to write and really, really hone that craft. Mm-hmm. Because if you've written a book or put together a magazine, the time management and there's a whole raft of skills that you have to put into place.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right.
What you are doing needs to be applauded because it is really, really hard work.
It's hard work. It's hard work, but it's a lot of fun too, and it's really satisfying. It's, you know, there's nothing like finally seeing it all come together, and we've started having pickup parties after each issue comes out just so we can celebrate with our story subjects, our staff, our advertisers, anybody who's had a hand in that issue. It does feel like a little miracle every time, and then it's all completely brand new. Like, every single thing changes for the next issue.
Yeah. So, the balancing act question, now you.
All
your,
right.
Your development as a leader.
The most important balancing act I think I've played that has prepared me for being a leader is basically being a parent. The key ingredients there are, of course, leading with love, first of all. Mm-hmm. You know, there's love. There is, parameters need to be set. There are guidelines that need to be enforced. So it's just that learning how to do it, you know, make this little person or this project come together with love and grace and, and gratitude for everyone involved. It also taught me a lot about that juggling act, how to do multiple things at once. It taught me how to change a plan on a dime. You know, somebody gets sick and your day is suddenly sent in a new direction, or a story doesn't come in the way you planned and you have to completely retool. So all those kinds of things, the flexible thinking, the juggling, mm-hmm. the leadership, and the two words that I've mentioned already, these are the two that I always try to keep in mind. It's taken me a while to kind of figure out what kind of a leadership style I have. And I realized it's one of grace and gratitude. And so grace, putting yourself in the shoes of everybody you work with, whether that's your staff members, your advertisers, the people you're writing about, your audience, you're all in it together, navigating life, and understanding that we're all human, we're all going to make mistakes, especially, we like to pride ourselves, we really don't have a lot of mistakes in the magazine, but, when they happen, I encourage, forgiving yourself for it. It's okay, we're human, these things are going to happen. And also asking why, like kind of getting to the root, why did that mistake happen? Why did this fall through the cracks? Is it because our procedures weren't clear enough? Does something need to be retooled? Is it because you, as an employee, were overwhelmed that week? And is there something we can do to help you, help you create a little more balance in life? Is there, can we get you some help? Is there something we can do to kind of take that burden?
Yeah, Yeah, I fully agree. Of the roughly 120 guests I've had on this show, you are the first to relate your balancing act in the professional world to your work as a parent.
Yeah.
And I think that is, there's so many crossover lessons that we can learn from that.
You know, it's also simply helped to put myself in the shoes of, like, especially younger mothers on our staff who, you know, I've been there. I know what they're going through.
Right, yeah. Right. Now we're going to have a little fun.
Okay.
Two lightning round questions.
All right.
I give you access to a time machine, but it's a really small time machine, and it just passes text back and forth to an earlier version of yourself. What's the short message? What earlier version of yourself do you send it to?
I would send this message to the me that had toddlers, was raising tiny children, and felt like her, you know, her dreams were kind of going away. Like, she didn't know if she was going to ever, you know, have that writing career. She didn't know if, you know, she had another book in her. You know, all the big dreams, you mm-hmm. know, they seemed like impossible to have. And the message I would text myself is, trust the process. Like, you'll get through this. You know, you raising your kids, doing the magazine, that's, it's all part of the plan. It's all going to work out. And because now what I can see looking back is, you know, opportunities open up, time opens up, and things start to fall on your path. Like, you know, you're invited to a writing workshop and suddenly you're like, oh yeah, I remember thinking about this thing I was going to do. The opportunities will come again. They're not gone. Just hang in there.
So many of us, myself included, want to fast forward into the future and to the what's next. And that, trust the process, be patient with it, especially the message for our wonderful students in the audience.
Yeah,
it is a great one. Now, we're all works in progress. What are you focused on right now in your personal journey of growth?
Personally, what I would like to work on, I've said it before, I'd like to get back to some writing. I love doing the magazine. That's definitely, you know, a great thing to have. I have had the opportunity to pick up some book editing projects. And, you know, it's kind of sparking that idea. It's reminding me of those dreams I had. And, you know, like, maybe this is time to get back to them. When I say trust the process, that's part of it. You know, opportunities come your way.
Do we think it's time for her to get back to writing? Oh, yeah.
And the best thing is, I think I've created a life where I can just about fit it all in now.
There you go. Well, I have, and this is true for writers, me particularly, is do a little bit.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
As a musician, write, do something, make some progress, even if it's just a little bit. It doesn't have to be. Even if it's bad.
Especially if it's bad.
Because a lot of it's bad, and a lot of it has to get thrown out.
You got to get the bad stuff out of the way before you can get to the good stuff, so you might as well get going.
Absolutely. What's next for you?
For me? Well, at the magazine, I think we really just want to keep doing what we're doing, you know, offer a place where women can tell their stories, connect women with their community. We're in a good spot now. You know, we're kind of, the COVID is kind of behind us. That was a tough spell, and nationwide paper shortage was also very interesting, but we're in a good spot now, and we're just happy to dig in and keep going. And for me, like I said, I'm looking forward to some of these, to getting back into books in addition to the magazine. That's sounding like a lot of fun for me. And then, you know, seeing where that takes me.
That's wonderful. Betty, it was just fantastic to have you on the show. Please give Betty a nice round of applause. So, my name is Andy Tempty. This is the Balancing Act podcast. You can find us on all the major streaming services. Please like, subscribe, rate, and most importantly, share this public good with your friends, your colleagues, and your neighbors. We'll see you next time on the Balancing Act.